Now, notice verse 20, and we come now to the four carpenters, as they're called in our text today. They actually are trained workmen. And let me read verse 20 and 21. And the Lord showed me four artisans. And as I say, they are skilled workmen. They've generally been translated four carpenters. Or they can be called the four smiths. A smith is generally a trained workman. And this may explain the reason there's so many smiths in the world. Because you got four to start with here, and that's a pretty good start. The Lord showed me four artisans, skilled workmen. Then said I, what come these to do? What are these skilled workmen doing here? And he spoke, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head, but these are come to terrify them, to cast out the horns of the nations which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. And I think here's without doubt one of the most remarkable prophecies that we have in the Scripture. And frankly, I'm going to turn to the explanation that has been given by another one. Who are the four smiths here? Well, Jerome and Cyril and Calvin consider them supernatural means that God uses here, and they're symbolic of the supernatural means. Well, I don't quite agree to that. I think that what you have here now, the smiths are artisans that build up. And what you really have, and I'm greatly indebted to Dr. Merrill Unger for this interpretation. And by the way, I think he has the finest book on Zechariah that there is, at least that I have seen. You see what happened. The first horn was Babylon. Now, it was cast down by Media Persia, the second horn. But Media Persia now acts as an artisan. It tears down one nation but builds up another nation, the Media Persian. But in turn, the second horn, Media Persia, was destroyed by the third horn, which was the Greco-Macedonian Empire under Alexander the Great. But it in turn was destroyed by Rome, so that the smiths came along and they destroyed these. But the interesting thing, if you go back and study Rome, Rome was not destroyed by an outside power. In fact, Rome is to come back together again because it never did die. Rome just fell apart because of the internal corruption that was in that kingdom. It fell apart. Now there's coming one who will be Antichrist and put it back together again, and he'll be a world dictator. But who's going to put him down? Well, the coming of Christ to the earth. He'll be the fourth carpenter, if you please. He'll be the fourth smith. He'll be the one that will put down the Roman Empire when he comes at the end of the Great Tribulation period. I think this is one of the most wonderful prophetic passages that you have in the Word of God. And friends, I hope that this enables many of you to see how important it is to study all the Word of God in order to understand prophecy. No prophecy is given for any private interpretation. You don't interpret it by itself. It has to be fitted into God's tremendous program that reaches on into eternity. And until we see it that way, personally, I don't think you see it at all. Now we discovered that Zechariah's making something very clear. And I would like to state that so that you will see that it's given great prominence. In fact, it will be given great prominence in each one of these visions. And that is this, that God is not through with the nation Israel. That's one thing. And the second thing is that this cult today that tries to make Great Britain and the United States the 10 lost tribes is just simply out, because these prophecies make it clear that when God talks about Israel, he's talking about Israel, and he's talking about people that are going to be in that land with Jerusalem, their capital, and Great Britain will have nothing in the world to do with it. to my judgment, it's been a sort of a salve to heal the hurt of a great many British folk and Americans today who are very proud of our ancestry, that we have a background that goes into the British Isles, and many of us do. But my friend, let's face up to it. Great Britain has become a third-rate nation, and we are at the top right now. Or maybe we're not at the top. I don't know. It looks very doubtful whether we are or not. And certainly we seem to be on the skids today going down. And so these prophecies sort of heal the hurt of all of this and helps our pride to believe that we might be the chosen people. Well, my friends, the only way God chooses people today is in Christ. And that doesn't make any difference who you are, what your color is, what your station in life. Race has nothing in the world to do with it. The important thing is that you and I are chosen in Christ and accepted in the Beloved. And unless we're in Christ, it wouldn't make any difference what nation we belong to, even the nation of Israel right now. That would not be helpful at all. But this does look down to the future, when they are going to accept their Messiah. And it will be in that land, if you please. And Jerusalem means Jerusalem, and Israel means Israel. You can see again why I have put such a great emphasis on studying all of the Bible. You see, it's very easy to pull out a few little prophecies and twist the names that are given there and the meaning of them and come up with most any kind of interpretation. I'm of the opinion that you might be able to come up with the idea that it would be the Eskimos of Alaska if you twisted it around. But you can't take all the Bible and come up with anything other than God is not through with Israel, and Israel is the people that are anxious to go to that land. And one of the reasons that I know I'm not an Israelite by birth is I have no desire to go to the land of Israel, that is to live. What is the old cliche today? A nice place to visit, but not a good place to live. That's my viewpoint of that land. And I have no ties that draw me to it whatsoever. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. It's coming down from God out of heaven. That's our hope today. But these people have an earthly hope. Now we saw that these four horns, and I'll say this again rather briefly, the four horns represent four nations. Now, I also recognize that there are those today that feel like the four horns could be something else. I believe they're the four Gentile world powers of Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, and Rome, because these four great world empires that Daniel mentioned, all of them have dealt very severely with the nation Israel. In fact, they are the ones that have scattered them. But God judged each one in time, and at the time of the four horns, there appeared these artisans, these carpenters, these skilled workmen. And again, may I say that they represent the fact that when one of these nations scattered Israel, Babylon came and destroyed Jerusalem, took them into captivity. Well, what happened? There came along Media Persia as the artisan or skilled workman and destroyed the Babylonian Empire. And the Media Persian came to the front. But after that, here comes another carpenter along, and that's Greece. Greece is actually represented in the book of Daniel by a horn. So the four horns and the four carpenters are not identical, but there is this similarity. Three of them are the same. But when you get to Rome, who destroyed Rome? Rome just fell apart. Now, there's coming an Antichrist who will put it back together and will become a world dictator. But who's going to put him down? Well, the Lord Jesus is coming, and he's the last of the carpenters here. I think that's interesting what he was here the first time. He did have that title, didn't he? The Carpenter of Nazareth. And so he's coming someday again as a carpenter to put down this world dictator and establish his kingdom here upon this earth, and that kingdom will have as its center Jerusalem, and he will reign there. That is something that we need to keep before us. It has been put like this: then let the world forbear their rage, the church renounce her fear. Israel must live through every age and be the Almighty's care. God will see to that. And he's not only going to be faithful to them, he's going to be faithful to the church also. And if you could persuade me that he's going to be unfaithful to the nation Israel, then I do not know what basis I could rest on him being faithful to the church today. But he is faithful and will be faithful. Now, there are those that think this could be that which is mentioned in Ezekiel, the 14th chapter, verse 21. And I want to read that. "For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four severe judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword and famine and the evil beast and pestilence, to cut off from it man and beast." And then there are those that compare it, and I do, the four horsemen of the apocalypse of Revelation that are going to ride in the last days. And they're going to ride through that land also, as well as through the world, of course.